Shabbat Shalom, saints, and welcome to the Feast of Jehovah's Sabbath Holy Convocation. In Leviticus 23, there are seven feast days which are to be kept according to Jehovah's commands. He instructed his people on specific days or Sabbaths during the feast they were to gather for a holy convocation. Today is one of those days. And so we want to welcome you here at House of Israel for the Feast of Jehovah. Now, gather yourself together, grab something to write with, something to write on, and of course, grab your Bible, and we are going to celebrate in the presence of the Almighty with inspirational teaching, quotes you can use, and of course, the truth that set men free. So stay tuned for this Sabbath Holy Convocation Feast of Jehovah. Shalom, saints. The early feasts of Jehovah are quickly approaching, and this is a personal invitation for you to attend and celebrate with us. The anticipation of the biblical new year is around March 19th or 20th. 14 days later, we will gather for the Passover around April 2nd or the 3rd. And then we transition into the 7 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread and First Fruits. Now, you may ask, why should I attend in person when I can attend online? Well, first, we are commanded to come to the feast 3 times a year, and Passover, Unleavened Bread are the first feasts. Second, many who have come testify that being here in person is so much different than being online. And then third, the anointing is always greater when you are here in person, experiencing the fellowship of the saints, breaking bread together, and worshiping together in unity. Not only that, but you will have the opportunity to participate in workshops, visit our marketplace vendors, and enjoy activities for the entire family, including the children. Truly, there's something for everyone. We are excited, and we are already making preparations, so we encourage you to make your preparations as well to join us for the early Feast of Jehovah here at House of Israel in Charlotte, North Carolina. You can RSVP easily by going to our website and clicking on the feast page. At the top of the page, you will see where you can RSVP for the Feast of Jehovah 2026. We look forward to seeing you here in person as we gather to celebrate the early Feast of Jehovah. Shalom, and see you soon. Shalom, I'm Arthur Bailey, Chancellor of the Accredited Hebrew Roots University. Hebrew Roots University is the world's first and only accredited theological university that approaches scripture from a Messianic Hebrew Roots perspective. At Hebrew Roots University, you can earn an accredited associate's, bachelor's, master's, and doctorate degree in several disciplines. I'm ecstatic to announce our Laborers Grant, available to all HRU students. Our new Laborers Grant enables us to eliminate the $50 application fee and cover 50% of tuition costs across all degree programs, removing additional financial barriers and making our tuition even more affordable to all students. There are no prerequisites or pre-qualifications required. Simply apply, and the grant would be automatically applied to your account. All students that apply today will be given a Laborers Grant, which will cover 50% off all tuition costs and will be automatically awarded for each term the student is enrolled. You can apply now. If you have any questions at any time during the application process, please do not hesitate to reach out to our admissions team. using the Have Questions section at the bottom of our website. The implementation of our new laborers grant will provide access to as many people as possible from all nations worldwide who are desirous of higher education in ministry and becoming laborers in the end time harvest of the kingdom. Here at Hebrews University, we are dedicated to our mission to teach the true gospel of the kingdom, the gospel Yeshua taught, to people of all nations and to eradicate biblical illiteracy worldwide. We look forward to walking with you on this exciting journey. So check us out now at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. That's HebrewRootsUniversity.com. Don't wait. Take advantage of our new laborers grant. So apply now. HebrewRootsUniversity.com. Thank you. Shalom. Shalom, saints. The last thing Yeshua said to his disciples before he ascended was, "Go and make disciples of all nations." This command is known as the Great Commission. Our ministries have taken this commission very seriously and developed a discipleship training program that will change the way discipleship has been done up to now. Most discipleship training programs are denominational in their approach and is doing exactly what the Pharisees and Sadducees did in the days of Yeshua. Yeshua said, "You search the world over to find one proselyte, and you make them twice the son of hell as they were before you found them." The vision of Arthur Bailey Ministries and House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua, the Messiah. In fulfillment of the Great Commission, we've developed Discipleship101.tv. Discipleship101.tv is a 2-year seminary-level discipleship training program that takes a messianic Hebrew roots approach to the scriptures. Now that we've completed this program, we are making it available to people around the world for free. We now have the opportunity to get it into every federal and state prison library and libraries around the nation. We also have the potential for getting this program accredited in universities and Bible colleges around the country. Now here's where we need your help. We need you to stand with us at the $1,500 level to help us get these workbooks printed and DVDs printed and duplicated in order to get them placed in prison libraries around the nation. For your help, we want to bless you with all of the workbooks and DVDs for each class as a thank you for helping us get this valuable information out. For your partnership, you will get all 8 workbooks and all of the DVDs by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you in advance for helping us get this valuable, extensive, messianic Hebrews discipleship training program to the nations of the world. By doing so, we're doing exactly what Yeshua said to do when he commissioned us to make disciples of the nation. Join us in this most important mission of making disciples of the nation by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. You can partner with us at this level by sending your partnership check or money order to House of Israel. If you would like to pledge your partnership with us and make payments, please do so on our website at www.arthurbaileyministries.com. Just let us know you would like to make a pledge and make payments. Please help us get this material published so it can be placed in prison libraries and libraries around the nation. Partner with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you.
House of Israel International Services are held weekly at 3601 Rose Lake Drive, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28217, 11 a.m. Saturday mornings and 7 p.m. Thursday evenings, Eastern Time. This live broadcast is made possible through financial contributions from brothers and sisters like you. Your financial support is greatly appreciated. Thank you. Motivating. Inspiring, challenging, encouraging, deepening, strengthening, and enhancing your faith. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to House of Israel International's live worship service.
Well, welcome everyone here in Charlotte at House of Israel and to all of you online. Shabbat Shalom. Amen, and welcome to this Jehovah's Annual Feast Day. Now, if you're tuning in or just happen to catch us and you're like, well, what annual feast day is this? Today is the seventh day of unleavened bread. And the title of today's message is The Bread of Supernatural Deliverance. The Feast of Unleavened Bread isn't just a feast or a holy day, it's also a call to action. It challenges every believer to walk differently in obedience to Yehovah. This feast is far more also than a dietary restriction. It is a prophetic, spiritual, and transformational appointment. Israel did not simply leave Egypt geographically. They were to never return to bondage again. So stay tuned as we deliver the biblical truth and dispel traditional strongholds. Amen. At the end of today's teaching, you'll be given an opportunity to give of your tithes and of your offerings as Father has blessed you. You'll also be able to ask questions, give testimony, and request prayer. If you go to arthurbaileyministries.com and on our live stream page at the lower right-hand side, just click on that chat icon. And there, you can chat with other saints and brethren, but there also you can submit any questions that you have, any testimonies, and your prayer requests, which we'll cover at the end of today's service. We also encourage you while you're there to subscribe on that website to get notifications of upcoming teaching titles and events. We're also on YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, and X. So like, subscribe, but please share. At this time, I'd like to invite Minister Tamai Fleming to come forward and lead us in opening prayer.
Shabbat Shalom, saints.
Shabbat Shalom.
Let's go to our Father. Father, we thank you and we bless you for this day. We are so grateful, Father, that you saw fit to allow us to get up this morning. You allowed us to come out and gather once again at your appointed time for a time to hear from you, to fellowship, and just to enjoy each other's company. But Father, we know that you have a word prepared for us today. You bring us together, Father, for instruction, for encouragement, Father, also for assignments to be divvied out. Father, we ask for ears that can hear exactly what you're saying to us, Father, individually as well as corporately. Father, we lift up Apostle Arthur and his family. Father, we pray a hedge of protection all around them. We pray for supernatural insight, Father, and in their health, in their finances, Father. I thank you right now because you're faithful and you're just, and you will fulfill what you set your word out to do. Father, we pray for those that might be having any type of issue within their health. Father, we know that you are the healer of all healers. So, Father, we ask right now that if someone here, someone online, someone listening in the future might be suffering in their bodies, Father, that I pray that by your spirit that a supernatural healing will take place. And they would then lift their eyes and say, what must I do to enter this kingdom? Father, I thank you and I bless you for the harvest of souls that's going to come from this word. Father, we know that there is people looking. There's people searching. They may not know what they're looking for. Father, by your Spirit, guide them to this broadcast, whether they can watch today or 5 years from now, Father. But I pray right now for the harvest of souls that's going to come from this. Father, I pray that you would encourage your laborers, Father, those that you've called to herald this message of the kingdom to this dark and crazy world. Father, we're thanking you right now in advance for all that you're going to do in this time, this appointed time, and in the times to come. We bless you and we praise you in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Tamai. Well, brothers and sisters, to bring us the message, the bread of supernatural deliverance, please welcome Apostle Arthur Bailey.
All right. Shabbat shalom, y'all. It's good to be here again. Good to see all of you. And even for those who couldn't make it, I suspect you may be joining us online. But I can tell you today some deliverance is going to come forth. And it's going to happen for the people who are here. It's for all. Father is doing some things. He's doing some work in the midst of us. And I want to share some things with you all today on the bread of supernatural deliverance, but it's also in a process of continual deliverance for those of us who can receive and then walk out, because there's some work on our part that's important for us when it comes to deliverance. And so we're going to talk about deliverance today. Anyone who is in need of deliverance, I really encourage you to put your faith out, attach your faith things that you're going to hear today. I also noticed my sister upstairs. I don't know if somebody want to get her, because anybody who is going to be needing a touch from the Almighty need to be here in this room if they're here. Amen. And so for those of you who are joining us online, you want to gather the family, you want to gather, or you want to communicate with folks that you know, whether it be social media, via email, because I truly believe some supernatural manifestation is going to take place in this place today. So I need you to pay attention. I'm going to share a lot of information. We have a few slides, but there's a lot of information that I'm going to share with you, and I believe it's going to really be a blessing to you. So take a moment, invite your friends, families, gather around the TV, the computer, whatever it is you're watching online, and prepare your heart to receive. As we talk about in the introduction, we should come with an expectation. Whenever you assemble yourselves with one another in the presence of the Most High, it's not about seeing y'all, as important as that is. It's really about putting our focus where the focus should be and always should be, and that is on our Father who is in heaven, and the author and finisher of our faith, whom he sent. So the message is going to be the bread of supernatural deliverance. For those of you who haven't yet subscribed, and we've been asking people to subscribe for some time, and if you've been around for a while and you still haven't subscribed, I don't know what you're waiting on, but you want to make sure that you subscribe so you can receive updates when we go live and updates on our website. You'll be notified. For those of you who are on YouTube, if you desire to ask questions, because I notice there's a lot of chatter on YouTube. And understand something. The reason we don't necessarily take questions from YouTube is because me. Thank you. Now, he told me that, and I forgot just that quick. But
People by nature are hard-headed and disobedient. Now, they're not hard-headed and disobedient to themselves because they do what they want to do. But when it comes to following instructions, people want to do things their way. And I say often that we don't take questions from YouTube, but yet people on YouTube ask questions. And it's like they're asking questions about something I'm teaching. And the best place or person to ask the question to is me. Folks on YouTube can't answer for me. They can give you their opinions. They can give you their thoughts. And oftentimes when I put, here's another thing. I'm going to just, when I post, those of you who are subscribed to us on Facebook, oftentimes when I post messages, I'll get back to YouTube. See, my mind, it's like all over the place, but I'll get back to YouTube here in a moment. When I post on Facebook and you are subscribed on Facebook, this is an opportunity for you to minister to the people that are on Facebook. I don't go back on Facebook and answer questions and respond to people and any of those things. This is where you have an opportunity to share. And what you'll see on Facebook and what you'll see on YouTube and most social media website is that people have a lot of different doctrines. They're being taught a whole bunch of stuff. And one of the things that I'm trying to do for us and for the people who are part of our ministry is to unconfuse. Because many of us have been confused. We've been confused by denominational teachings, by doctrines, by Facebook and YouTube teachers, by people that we have been a part of. And even though you leave a ministry, you don't leave the ministry. You have a tendency to take ministry with you, at least the stuff that's been deposited. See, So it's like this. You know how it is when you put on weight? Now you ate food. You carrying stuff. You carrying weight of food you ate years ago. Food that you have eaten, and now you want to try to get rid of it, and you got to go on a diet. What you're trying to do is purge the weight that was gained from the food you ate. Now, the food you ate was actual food, but when it comes down to church and ministry, you're being fed. And the food that you're being fed in this ministry still resides in you, like the food you ate years ago. And some of that requires going on a diet. It's like you got to purge some stuff. And last week when I was talking about the fast, a seven-day feast and fast, the whole point of the fast was to purge. We talked a little bit about Yeshua and what he talked about as relating to the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the leaven of Herod relating to teachings. And people come here with teachings in them. And so when I say something that is contrary to what they have heard, what they have been fed, it's another meal. I have a son, and my son, this particular son, would put food on his plate, but none of the food could touch. Very, very particular. The food could not touch each other. Now, it's all going in the same place. Now, some people just pile stuff on and mix it all together and eat it like that. Eating the different teachings is like piling it all together and eating like that. It's all mixed up in there. And when it comes down to the mixture comes from various teachings, and sometimes what I'm teaching becomes part of the mixture. And when it becomes part of the mixture, it does not bring forth the results it's supposed to. Because it's just mixed in. And what requires this truth deliverance is that you just can't mix truth with all that other stuff and expect to get delivered. What we're going to discuss here today is that deliverance is by phases, and you always have the opportunity to go back to the thing you left. But some of us didn't leave it. We brought it with us. So deliverance is coming forth today. Now, back to YouTube. People get on YouTube, and I tell people, listen, if you want your questions answered, if you want prayers prayed, if you have comments or questions, then all you have to do is come to our website, go to our watch page, and there you can ask your questions. Now, sometimes people don't hear me because they're running off at the mouth on YouTube. And because they don't hear me, they continue to ask their questions on YouTube as if I'm going to respond. And I just told them I don't respond to questions on YouTube. Now, we have moderators that say, hey, if you want your questions answered, go to this link. And do you know, hard-headed people look at the link, ignore the link, and continue to ask their questions on YouTube. You know what that is not? That is not a disciple. I don't deal with people who aren't willing to be discipled. They're time wasters. You understand what I'm saying? If you can't follow instructions, then no matter what I give you, you ain't gonna walk in it because you don't follow instructions. And this is why some people get stuck in the same old cycle year after year. It's like 20 years from now, they wondered why they keep going through stuff. Because you're hard-headed. You're stiff-necked. You won't apply. Hearing the truth is not going to make you free. Doing the truth is what's going to make you free. Why? Because the word of Jehovah is powerful once it's received, and now you allow that word to go to work and start the purging process to get all that nonsense that has been put in you that hinder you from becoming operable for the kingdom. Now, I didn't come to fuss. I'm talking to the people, the hard-headed people on YouTube. But you might know some of these people, and you might want to encourage them. And if you are one of those people, then this is a good time to get some deliverance. So, are we connected? Thank you. So this, if you want your questions asked, or you want to receive prayer, then please move over to our website, arthurbaileyministries.com, and go to the watch page. Because at the end of the teaching, we're going to give you an opportunity to ask those questions and receive prayer. If you hear something that may sound a little challenging or foreign or strange, today. Then write it down, and at the end of the teaching, you'll be given an opportunity to get some clarification. As was ministered last night, and we continue to minister, if you don't have understanding of a thing, you can't apply it. It's just more information. And as I monitor myself, just like here, you know, this morning, since I've been standing here, I've gone in four or five different directions. Because it's like all of this is going on in my head, and I'm talking to different people. And when I'm talking to different people, I remember other people that need to be talked to. So I kind of leave. And some of y'all call it rabbit holes, but I know Father is dealing with some folks. And I'm not going to let people put me in a box. So it's a matter of really trying to minister to people, because people are crying out for help. And those of us, you know, it's amazing that we know that the Almighty is a supernatural being. Yet if we all, if all of the billions of people were to talk at the same time, I get the impression from who he is that he distinctly hears each and every one of us separate from the other. When we cry out to him, he hears us. And there are people crying out to him who don't have the relationship or the connection with him yet. And this is where he deals with us. And this is how sometimes when you're in strange places getting strange words about people you don't know, Father may very well be answering the cry of that person, and he's using you to do it, and you don't have time to be procrastinating and asking a thousand questions. I don't know that person. Now, what if they reject me? What if they don't? If Father's giving you something, your job is to simply be the messenger and deliver it. But before you get to that place, you're going to have to deal with some stuff in you. Because the fact that you're going through that, as Father is communicating with you, you haven't learned to distinguish his voice from all the other voices. And you got to ask 100 questions or get a confirmation after confirmation after confirmation before you move, when he's trying to distinguish his voice with you, which means that you're going to have to intentionally stay tuned and pay attention when he's communicating with you. My sheep know my voice. So if you need confirmation, if you need somebody to reinforce what you have heard, then you have to question, do you know his voice? Now, I ain't picking on nobody. But these are tough times, and they're just going to get tougher, and we are going to need to know what Yeshua says. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the... He's trying to lead us. He wants to bless you. He wants to prosper you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to heal you. He wants to do a work in you. And he wants to do it more than you might want him to do it. So, can we get to the teaching? The Feast of Unleavened Bread is a call to action. It challenges every believer to search, remove leaven, and walk differently in obedience to Jehovah. This feast, as has been said, is far more than a dietary restriction. It is a prophetic, spiritual, and transformational appointment that reveals how Jehovah delivers his people not only from bondage, but from everything associated with that bondage. The bread of supernatural deliverance presents this feast as a divine process of separation, purification, and a lifelong transition of walking in freedom. Get that, a lifelong transition of walking in freedom. Israel did not simply leave Egypt geographically. They were to remember their deliverance and never to return to bondage again. In Deuteronomy 16:1, and we read this on the Biblical New Year, observe the month of Aviv and keep the Passover unto Jehovah thy God. For the month of Aviv, Jehovah thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt. Now, what you're going to notice is that on the first day of unleavened bread is when Jehovah brought the children out of Israel, out of Egypt. He brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. That was day one. He says, thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto Jehovah your God of the flock and the herd in the place which Jehovah shall choose to place his name there. Thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction. For thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt. How long? All the days of thy life. Now, Father is not just talking to the Israelites present. He's talking to the Israelites in perpetuity. There is no time in life do we forget the deliverance from Egypt. I've stated, and I'll continue to state, the moment you forget Egypt is the moment you forget who Jehovah is and what he's capable of doing. There are two things that I take away from Egypt in my remembrance, and one is that Father don't like people messing with and afflicting his people. And the second thing that I take with me is that Father is the most powerful entity in creation. There's no laws, there's no presidents, there's no constitutions, there's no prime ministers, there's no kings, there's no queens that take precedent over him. He was, is, and always shall be the most powerful entity and creator of creation. I want that with me all the time. The moment I forget and I feel sad, I feel sorry because, you know, when I was in the church, I didn't know my relationship with Israel. My relationship was with Abraham. He had many sons. I was one of them. But see, Abraham was told about Egypt. He just didn't know it by name. You know something? Father gave Israel instructions on the feast to celebrate them that they never celebrated for an entire 40 years. Unleavened bread was part of that, but notice that when you get into Leviticus 23, so was first fruits. Because first fruits was during the time of unleavened bread. It was actually the morrow after the Sabbath. How many times do you think Israel celebrated first fruits in the wilderness? So he gave them instructions for the future. Are you hearing me? He gave them instructions for the future that many out there in the church are teaching as the past. And as a result of that, they don't know who he is and what he's capable of because they have religion instead of truth. And there's a lot of denominational truth that is religious, but not biblically true when it comes to the word. Those feasts are for the Jews. Now, the Jews who's keeping the feast and walking in the law and obeying the commandments seem to be living a lot better lives, at least the ones I know, so anyway, the word affliction here has several meanings. Affliction, poverty, misery, trouble. The bread of affliction there in Deuteronomy 16 is a reminder to Israel of their affliction. The bread is to remind Israel of their affliction. But it not only reminds Israel of their affliction, it reminds Israel of their deliverance. Now, this was in fulfillment of the promise made to Abraham. So unleavened bread is a reminder of Israel's affliction, their bondage, oppression, and poverty. Jehovah brought them out wealthy. He brought them out wealthy as he promised Abraham. This is what he said. He says, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger. Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger. Now, when I was talking about being Abraham's seed, I did not associate Abraham's seed to Israel. And there's a lot of ignorant people out there now call themselves Christians, talking about they're the seed of Abraham by faith. But they don't understand that the seed of Abraham came through Isaac and Jacob, whom Jehovah changed his name to Israel. And when he manifested that, all of these people that was in Egypt saw. See, here's the thing about the world. Do you know that the world is more fearful of God than his people are? How many times you've heard people, nah, man, I don't play with God. I ain't going to church until I'm ready. I ain't ready, so I'm not going up in there playing with God. And you got people up in church playing with God all the time. See, the world seems to know better. Because when the Almighty showed out on behalf of Israel, the whole world took notice. All of them. The fear of God was put into the heart of the world. So when Israel started coming their way, those who were ignorant and unlearned decided to oppose them to their own peril. The other one stepped aside and let them pass. He said, they shall be seed, be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out wealthy. Jehovah brought the children of Israel out of Egypt wealthy. I'm going to show you something. That ain't the only time. You'll see here in a moment. For the people of Jehovah, the feasts are memorial. What's a memorial? A memorial is a remembrance. It is memory. It is to be remembered. It's a remembrance, a memorial, a memory, and to be remembered. And the moment you forget is the moment you forget him. The feasts are reminders of remembering Jehovah. Now, I'm going to tell you, he wants you to remember him every single day, all day. The moment trouble even look in your direction, you want to be ready to call on his name. You got to figure this thing out. Jehovah knows how to move supernaturally on your behalf, and he don't necessarily need you to act except in obeying his voice at the time. Year after year, beginning with the early feast, Jehovah wanted Israel to remember their deliverance from bondage in Egypt, where he brought them from and how. When people add to the feast their traditions and their prophecies of fulfillments, they are no longer remembered as memorials. They change the feast into something else. They turn the feast into something to be accomplished in the future, or what Jehovah is going to do. And this is how a lot of these people, God is doing a new thing. Get ready. God is going to do some stuff in your life, and he's always going to do some stuff in your life. When he's doing stuff in my life, and I'm watching him do it, and I am in awe of him doing what he's doing in my life because I'm mindful. I was preparing, this is a side note, for Passover when I was preparing the goat and all these wings, my oven didn't have enough space. I've got this stove that has this griddle type thing in the middle of it, and it's got coils and a cover to where if I wanted to do pancakes or fry stuff, you know, I could do it on that griddle. Well, when my oven got overcrowded, I had to take the goat out the oven and put it on the warmer on my stove. But I couldn't tell whether it was on or not. So, foolish me, lifted up the grill to touch the coil. It was like, and I looked at my finger, and I made this sound to where my wife said, what's wrong? Or something like that. And I said, I just touched this coil and looked like a blister is forming. And the spirit in me said, rebuke it. So I rebuked it, and it stopped forming. And I'm thinking that being mindful of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Almighty at all times is so important. Because sometimes we call on him after the fact when we should be calling on him when we see the storm coming. Deliverance from Egypt was a supernatural deliverance designed to show us the power of a supernatural deliverer. When you get to know him, and this is why I believe the Hebrew writer says that him that he that comes to him must come to him in faith. You must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. See, when you believe that he is, you know, for me, when I read that, believe that he is, I believe that he is with all of this. He's not just God. He's supernatural. He operates in the supernatural. He moves supernatural. And therefore, I have to walk supernaturally. You have to walk supernaturally. Remember, you got two thinking brains. You have the mind of Messiah, but you also have your mind. And if we spend more time in our mind than in his mind, guess what's going to come out of your mouth? You. If you want to know where you are, just listen to yourself. That's all you got to do. Just listen to yourself. And some people talking, they don't even hear themselves talking. Because if they heard themselves talking about they got faith, a lot of the stuff that's coming out of their mouth would never cross their lips. So I know you ain't listening. Now I got to correct you. I got to tell you, don't say that. You can see. You hear what I'm saying? So I showed you this chart last week. Israel's departure from Egypt. They left on the 15th day of the month of Aviv. And that's found in Exodus 12, 31 through 42. They got to the Red Sea a few days after Egypt. And do you know it appears that they crossed the Red Sea on the seventh day of unleavened bread? It's where their deliverance was sealed. Yeah. Now, I heard her this morning at home, and I felt she was going to cut up today. And so I was supposed to say this. There's some loud folks in the family. We got some loud family members. And that's all right. That's all right. The focus of the feast. Right. That's right. That's right. That's why I said that. Some people get it. The focus of the feast is not the feast. It's Jehovah. He said, these are his feet. The Catholics and the Christians have convinced people that these are the feasts of the Jews. So they're not Jews, they don't have to keep them. But no, he said these are his feasts. The feasts are not about you, it's not about me. Is not a time for family. Unless you understand the family of Jehovah. The feasts are not about your family. The feasts are reminders that we are part of Jehovah's family. And we're coming together in his presence. I'm glad to see you, but if he ain't in the midst of us, I'm out. You understand? That's why I don't go to certain places where they're talking about they worshiping. Because he ain't in the midst of that. Now, there's a lot of witchcraft that goes on, and you may not be mindful of the witchcraft, but one of the greatest forms of witchcraft in the church is music. Because they psych you out. They got to get you into this mindset. Lift your hands and worship. You don't worship lifting your hands, buddy. That's not worship. And now I know some of y'all are on your face because you're tired. You're exhausted. I learned that last night. You down there faking like you worshiping and you catching your breath. You get some rest. You had me for a minute, but I He said these are his feasts. Jehovah is the focus of every feast. Deliverance requires a desire to be free from whatever bounds. I've come to realize that some people don't want to be delivered. They want to be relieved. There's a difference between deliverance and relief. See, there's some folks on YouTube who wants to be relieved. They don't want to be delivered. They want to stay out of range. See. But when you become part of the family, then, you know, you are a family member. And that means that what I do affects you and what you do affects me. Deliverance requires calling on the one who can deliver you. That's the important part. Deliverance requires preparation. So, well, how is that? I learned this while I was in the church. When I started going and studying the Torah, I come to realize that a lot of the things that I thought Yeshua said, I didn't really understand the context that he was saying them, and I took them in a Christian mind context. And I had to change how I saw what he said, because I had to remember who he was sent to. See, he was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. He wasn't sent to Charlotte. That's his words. He was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, understand something about the lost sheep of the house of Israel. These weren't the lost tribes of Israel. Israel was lost. Israel had adopted religion that replaced Torah. They were teaching traditions. They were teaching commandments of men that had made the law of God of no effect. They exchanged the traditions of men for the law of God and made up their own laws to hold their people accountable to them and cause them to submit to them. When people bring you under their authority, you are no longer under the authority of God. They become the mediator. The bishop becomes the mediator. The apostle becomes the mediator. The pope becomes the mediator. Mother Mary becomes the mediator. And so people got these mediators, which is now, because of the lack of trust in him and developing his voice, they don't trust when he speaks. So now they got to get confirmation from somebody they do. Think about that. Deliverance required the blood. Now, when you read Passover in the Tanakh, in the Torah, it is called the Passover, not Passover. It is called the Passover. Are you hearing me? And therefore, when it comes to the Passover, it is a sacrifice, not a day. The Passover is never referred to in the context anywhere in the Bible as a day, and yet you got people who are claiming Passover is a day from sunset on the 13th to sunset on the 14th. And you wonder where they get it from, the leaven of their prophets. You can't find it in the Bible. And, you know, I find sometimes it's why am I even talking to this person? I mean, if you want to tell me and convince me that the Passover is a day, it's like, okay, I know you can't show me that in the Bible, but yet you argue passionately like it's there. Somebody put it in the Bible, and somebody taught you was in the Bible, and without any proof or evidence or identifying it, You accept it at face value, and then you start speaking it yourself. And when you got enough people doing it, oh, this is God. No, it's not. It's tradition. The sacrifice, we learned a few years ago, was from the sheep or from the goat. Until then, we were all under the impression that a lamb was a sheep. In English, it is. In Greek, it might be. I haven't checked. But in Hebrew, in that particular context of taking it from the and he says it very clearly in Exodus chapter 12, you shall take your lamb from the sheep or from the goat. But we were under the impression it was a sheep. We never saw a goat. I think the first time y'all saw a goat as a Pesach was in the PowerPoint slide I showed y'all last week. And I did that intentionally so that there would be a visual. Because even though I tell you, you will still think about a sheep, but now you got the visual. You got an image. And see, this is why the Almighty don't want us making graven images. Because the image puts a picture in our head. And once you see it, it's like you can't unsee it. So now the image goes along with the words and it's sealed. No, it ain't. It's just sealed in your head. Obedience. Deliverance required obedience. Had they not put the blood of the lamb, and so it wasn't about the blood. It wasn't about the blood. It was the sacrifice. Because the blood, they could have went out on the 14th, grabbed a lamb and slit his throat and took the blood. No, he says, you on the 10th day. On the 10th day. So they had to have that lamb or goat, sheep or goat, set apart for how many days? 4 days. The focus was on the sacrifice, not the blood. The blood came from the sacrifice, which the Almighty said, put it on your doorpost, and when I see it, I'll pass over you. It's like, why you got to have the lamb for 4 days? Because he said it. That's all I need to know. Deliverance required separation from Egypt. The reason why some people never get delivered from cigarettes is because they keep buying them. It's a simple concept. You don't want to smoke no more. Why do you keep buying them? Hello? If you don't want to do a thing, why are you investing in the thing you don't want to do? So they couldn't be delivered from Egypt while staying in Egypt. Hello? Delivered required faith and action. They had to put their trust. It's like, okay, all we have known is this for 400 years. Now, you all may know some folks, and some of y'all used to be that person until you got some deliverance, is that there are people who are born, raised up, and die in the same neighborhood. There are people who have never left their hometown. There's people who have never left their city, never left their state, never even traveled outside the country. How many of you all got passports? get you a passport. Now, it's going to require some, you got to go through some steps. you had to go through some steps before. Every time I've gotten a passport, I had to follow some instructions. But I also know that there are ways around those instructions in expediting. Now I got two. Yeah. I didn't even know I needed to until I tried to leave the country. And I needed to travel to another destination. But if I left the country with my passport, I couldn't get the other passport because I had to send my passport in to get a second passport. Now, it wasn't no visa. This is my story. Yes, it is. I got two passports, not two visas. Oh, okay. Okay. She right. She right. I had to get So I guess this is our story. See, that's why I keep her around. That's my other brain, with this brain is, you know, is over there. Anyway, remaining delivered, and here's the other piece. Remaining delivered required continued obedience to the word, a renewed mind by the word, daily trust in the word, covenant faithfulness to the word of Jehovah. Now, somebody wrote on one of my Facebook posts that Jesus had a name that nobody knew according to Revelation. And I said, did you read the rest of it? Because his name was the word of God. See, people will read just like that Hosea 4:6. They'll read part of a verse and leave the rest. It's like, now you really that knowledgeable, but you lack knowledge. And I'm surprised that, you know, sometimes people do that. When people think about the word that was with God from the beginning, the word that became flesh, the word that became flesh was the word before it became flesh. It was the word of God. When God opened his mouth, words came out and things happened. Nothing was made except it was made by him who made what he said. His word did. People get into theology in their denominations, and all of a sudden now they intellectual. Revelation 19:11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and the righteous, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And I guess that's where he stopped reading. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Now, some other people read in Revelation that God is going to give us a name that nobody will know except us. And then they go through the whole process of getting their Hebrew name so that everybody will know what it is. People do stuff, and they think what they're doing is godly. No, bro, read the rest of the text. Ain't nobody supposed to know your Hebrew name but you. If that's where you're getting it from. So here's something that I want to leave you. Well, not that I'm not going to be with you long. This is not a closing. You see that? The Torah is leaven-free. Jehovah's word is leaven-free. The bread of heaven is leaven-free. The people of Israel was to fast 7 days from leaven. When I mention a fast, people don't know that you can fast and still eat. You're just simply not eating certain things. They were on a fast of leaven. Now, those of you who've actually been doing this unleavened bread, some of y'all can't wait to get some bread. I feel you. Now, there's a couple of things that I love. Well, I don't love. I like a lot. Put it like that. I like a lot. And that's old Southern. You know, I like sardines with mustard and hot sauce on crackers. And I would have my wife sometimes just have tuna made as a snack just in case I wanted to eat without going through the process of cooking. And so I came home and I thought about some sardines. And it's like, I can't have sardines. There's no crackers. No, I had matzo. It ain't the same. It ain't the same. And you ain't going to mess up my sardines. So now I have to put the sardines off until after unleavened bread. Now, yeah, I could eat it with unleavened bread, but and I'm eating unleavened bread because I'm commanded it. It's not like I like unleavened bread. Unleavened bread is my least favorite food. Now, for those of you who love it, praise Jehovah. But it is not something that I have during the course of the year. It's like, you know what? I'm missing some unleavened bread. Let me get some matzah. I eat it once a year because I have to. And then I hear a voice, you don't have to eat that. You ain't under that. No, you ain't. They were to eat unleavened bread for 7 days. They ate unleavened bread for 40 years. Why? Because of their disobedience. Now, here's the journey. See, the manna that Father gave them was bread from heaven. It was leaven-free. They got tired of it, just like some of y'all getting tired of the matzah. Being delivered must be walked out daily. Leaving Egypt is one thing. Returning to Egypt becomes a thought never to be acted upon when freedom is challenged and things are difficult. Freedom will be challenged and things will be difficult, but he who is able to solve the most difficulty of difficulties is right there with you. Your deliverance must be maintained. Understand something. Deliverance is the beginning of a journey. Staying delivered is a lifelong journey. Because everything, you know, when I was in drug rehabilitation, I've told you all about this. When I went to rehabilitation, I went into a treatment center. And in this treatment center, there were a lot of people in that treatment center in Springfield, Michigan, where there were there for a variety of reasons. there was a lot of mama's children in the rehab. And many of them was there because mama told them that if they don't get some help, they ain't going to get no more money. So they went to rehab so they can get some more money, not to get delivered. And as soon as they got some more money, guess what they did with it? Now, what I couldn't understand is people, because I had to go to these meetings, and what I couldn't understand in these meetings is people come into the meetings, AA meetings, NA meetings, who have been clean for 20, 30 years. It's like, what you doing here? They in there telling their story. They've been off drugs, been off alcohol, been off all this stuff, and for whatever reason, something went down, and they relapsed. And now here they are, and this was troubling some to me, because it's like, no, that ain't going to be me. No, that ain't going to be me. But here's the thing that I had to deal with. In the meeting, I'm an addict. I'm an addict. I'm an addict. I'm a drug addict. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Arthur, and I'm an addict. This is what I had to say in these meetings. Now, as long as I was in the meetings and not in the, when I started going to church, it's like, how can I be an addict and saved? So something had to change. And so if I have to say I'm an addict going to the meeting and I'm saved, then can I go to the meeting and not confess to being an addict? So I had to stop going to the meetings. Because I made a decision in my mind that I'm delivered. My confession can't go contrary to what I desire. I've got to walk this thing out. Now, I left the rehab smoking. Then I started going to church. The next thing you know, it's like, you know, I can't be up in just smoking because I got this call to ministry. Now, I know pastors because I was in the Baptist church. You walk into their building and it smells like smoke. The janitor in the basement smoking, the pastor in the study smoking, everybody smokes almost. And I remember walking through to get into the sanctuary, and I had to walk through people on the outside smoking cigarettes. And I saw myself. I said, that would not be me anymore. And Father said, stop buying them, and don't beg for them, and don't pick them up off the ground. Now, some of y'all got so desperate for a cigarette. How many? I raised my hand. I done picked a cigarette up off the ground. Thank you. I know I ain't the only one. But some folks, they want to hide with their Wegovy. Can't tell them nothing. Like anyway, it's all good. We tell on ourselves up in here. Israel's supernatural deliverance came in stages. Pay attention. Culminating on the seventh day of unleavened bread at the Red Sea crossing, where Jehovah destroyed the host of Egypt. Now understand something. They left Egypt on day one. Egypt pursued them. It's like a nasty habit you're trying to get rid of. It just chases after you. That's what that addiction to do. Hey, where you going? You try to fake them, fake move. I'm delivered, Satan. You can't mess with me, please. Stage one, Passover. See, Passover was the beginning of their deliverance. No blood, no Passover. So Passover was night one. At the end of the evening, went into the first day of unleavened bread. Their journey begins. They left Egypt and came to Succoth. They continued there to eat them. From there, day three and four, they was at the edge of the wilderness. Day four and five, they were near the Red Sea. Day five through seven, they were at the Red Sea and crossing the Red Sea. And that's when mayhem took place for Pharaoh. From Egypt to the Red Sea crossing. Now, what I have here is at the bottom where you see Passover night, depart from Egypt, there's a reference, scriptural reference. So you can look that up. On day one, you can see where they were. On day two, you can see where they were. Day three and four is when they came to the sea, or they turned to the sea. Day four and five, Pharaoh pursues them. And again, the scripture reference there. And then the Red Sea crossing, they crossed over. And here's a phenomena. Paul writes, I believe it was Paul, they all were baptized into the sea. Right. This was a dry baptism. You think about it. Because there are things that are said that people take literal, and it's like, okay, they were all baptized. I can tell you who was baptized in the Red Sea, Pharaoh's army. With my understanding of baptism. Because people make the, you know, it's like, you know, you can't baptize infants. Some infants went through that Red Sea. And, you know, you can't baptize people who don't know that what they're doing. It's like, it took faith to go through that. It really did. And I think what made it believable is that they know water was there, and all of a sudden the ground is dry. Because, see, they had some carts that had to go across there, and you can't